better while your body fights off the virus. Be antibiotics aware. Visit health.ri.gov/antibiotics. Sponsored by the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
The following program is furnished by the SOA Financial Group. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk, with Don SOA and Donna SOA Allard. With market insights and so much more. Talk to Don and Donna now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don SOA and Donna SOA Allard.
And we welcome you folks to the Money Talk program. Delighted to have you here with me. With me, he's sitting in the studios, as the announcer just informed you, is Donna SOA Allard.
I made it into the intro.
She actually
I'm
made
real
it.
Here
I
now.
Think that's Maya's responsibility.
Thank you, Maya. That was all you. I know it was.
We're delighted to hear that. I mean, and after a couple of years on the air, you figured sooner or later you get a mention, right? Other than what I do.
You know, I'm here to support you.
Well, there you go.
That's why I'm here. I'm here for you, Dad.
That's when my voice is dry or I'm sniffling or something like that. The market, of course, is continuing here as we move into the month of December. Doing well. Stocks ended up higher for the most part. Amid some growing optimism that perhaps the lawmakers in Washington may actually be able to come up with some version of a corporate tax revamping to the system. I think anybody who goes in expecting to get everything they were looking for or everything that they were promised is going to probably ultimately be disappointed. What we in this field and what we here on Money Talk try to do is to explain what we're hearing, what it means, or what we believe that it means with the best expectation. And very importantly, how can it affect us in maybe, if at all, are there any decisions we need to be making to either protect ourselves against ugly surprises, or to take advantage of opportunities, which typically come as part of that mix. I find that there's very seldom a period of time where there's not some place where there's an opportunity to make money, regardless of what the political environment is around us.
Sure, and that's one of the reasons why when lots of times before a big event comes, when people are nervous, in my experience, it's been before elections, whether it be this election or previous elections, there's always somebody who wants to go to cash, right? Yeah. When people feel nervous, rather than, taking a step back and looking at the situation, the inclination is to retreat. And people do that in other areas of their lives, too. So it makes sense that it would happen with their money. But sometimes your emotions get the better of your objectivity. And rather than have to make a decision about moving one way or the other, you just want to pull back completely. And we'll see people want to go to cash. But there is always an opportunity somewhere.
Well, we're almost halfway through the month of December, and the Dow is up 118 points today. Again, every one of these moves is going to, for the most part, on these indices, is going to be moving us into new territory, all-time high territory. These gains were boosted on the Dow by Boeing, Goldman Sachs, and Verizon for the most part. The S&P was up just shy of 0.2%, with telecommunications and financials outperforming, which makes sense if you think about it, because if Goldman and Verizon, very interest-sensitive companies, yep. Goldman especially, are doing well, you think the financials are going to be doing well, too.
Sure. And, this is also, kind of happening before you have your announcement from the Fed, right? So it's like a little precursor.
Yeah, and I don't think they're looking for any big surprises out of the Fed.
I think that's the whole thing, right? This whole time that we've been going through a very slowly increasing interest rates, it's all been very, very well telegraphed. There's really hasn't been a whole lot of area for surprise.
Well, we did mention during the announcement, the introduction, that Donna Grace and I are taking calls and we're taking your questions. We had a few off the air, which we'll be addressing during the course of the program, but 437-5000 is the local number here. Maya's here. She's taking calls. She's not going to yell at you or anything. Don't worry. She doesn't pick on anybody. She will ask you, though, if you're available to actually chat on the phone, which means you're in a safe place if that's the case, and she'll let me know that, and we'll get you on as quickly as we can. Or she'll simply say, why don't you give me the question, and we'll plug it into the screen that they have in the main studio there, and then Donna and Don will try our best to respond. There's a toll-free number also if you're outside the immediate area. That's 888-345-0790. That's 888-345-0790. Bloomberg News reported that Republican Senator John Cornyn He said that lawmakers may have a tentative tax bill today. The major indices jumped to session highs shortly afterward. I think that it's sort of the catalyst for the markets going up here, according to Anthony Conroy. He's with Abel Noser, the president of that firm. He also noted that the banks were rising ahead of the Fed's monetary policy announcement, which will come on Wednesday. Don, on monetary policy, any big surprises? I mean, this has been kind of built in for months now.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the question's always just been, is it going to be, you know, two increases for the year, three increases for the year, and the expectation has generally been to expect about a quarter of a point each time. I mean, the Fed doesn't want to shoot itself in the foot here. So we've gotten through all of this economic recovery. We've gotten through, you know, quantitative easing, and we want to raise interest rates because that's part of a healthy economy at this point. We need to get a little bit of inflation into the system. We want to see rates going up as a reflection of a healthy economy, right? I mean, they're not going to be raising rates if the data isn't there to support.
Well, there's a fair assumption that despite whatever the level of growth was within the economy, that the monetary policy of the country, the Federal Reserve, was artificially keeping interest rates low, or the cost of money was artificially low.
So we want to come out of that regime, right? But we want to do it slowly. If it happens too fast, meaning, you know, too many increases too quickly, or that the increases are too high, that's going to have a negative effect, and we don't want to undo all of the good that's been built.
See, part of the benefit of raising rates and getting up to a reasonable level is the reality that we need to have an indicator or a group of indicators that tell us just exactly how strong the economy really is. Is it healthy enough to stand on its own 2 feet, or does it need all this quantitative easing that we've had? Does it need to continue to have artificially low interest rates? And the answer is we're hoping that it doesn't.
And when we talk about, you know, rising interest rates, we're not talking about going back to the 80s by any means here. We're not even talking about 4% for a 10-year treasury. We're looking at like 2.5% or a little over that. So it's still very moderate. It's we've been talking about the idea of the new normal since, you know, the crash in 08. And I think this is part of the extended new normal, is these lower long-term interest rates.
See, at some point in the midst of all this quantitative easing and stimulus, the Federal Reserve got the Fed fund rate, which is the rate that the Fed itself charges its member banks, its best customers, in other words. Mm-hmm. And that had gotten down to nearly zero. I mean, it was like a quarter of a point into that range. So raising up to a different level. I know that you were talking to a person in the investment, the fixed income field specifically today. And she was indicating to you that the expectation for, say, 2018 might be how many? In other words, we had a certain number of increases this year. And what are their people telling them for next year?
So, I mean, that particular company was thinking two increases. Others are saying three, but probably not more than two or three.
Is there actually a target Fed fund rate that they're kind of looking at that they'd like to see?
I think it's about 2.5.
2.5, yeah. So two more increases would get us pretty much there.
Yeah, that would get us there. Yeah.
Now, that would be that level that they consider. I know the term that you don't often hear when you're talking about investments is equilibrium. I mean, the fixed income markets would be in equilibrium. And just so you do know, though, I mean, we don't like to specifically mention companies, but the company we were talking to today is one of the largest and most prominent fixed income managers in the world. And so they're looking at these numbers continuously. So needless to say, we pass on information that we understand. In other words, when we're talking to these folks, they're good enough to try to translate into plain English what they're portfolio specialist economists and managers are telling them.
Well, we understand, and you know, just what is reasonable and what makes sense, right? Because there's so much information out there. It's good to just kind of drill down to what is the basic information that makes sense for the average person.
Ladies and gentlemen, as part of tonight's program, questions related to what component should fixed income or bonds be in your portfolio going into 2018. We'll chat about that a little bit too here on the Money Talk Get Back to Basics program. Folks, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to take a quick break, and then Donna Grace and I will be right back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
It's called MediShare, and it's affordable, biblical health care. And if you're wondering, what does that mean? Well, ask the people who are already members, like the Badger family. It's a big family, by the way.
We have 7 boys, 3 girls. We live out in the country. We homeschool.
And they thank God for MediShare, especially after one of their babies was born with spina bifida, and the total bill was about $250,000. MediShare members met the entire need and sent them cards and letters letting them know they're praying for them.
MediShare is, I mean, we love it. With myself being self-employed, owning my own business, MediShare was a great option as far as affordability. With MediShare, as far as like all of our stuff, it's always come through.
Yeah, more and more people are doing this, and you can see why. Hundreds of thousands of Christian believers sharing, and that is a beautiful thing. Find out more. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
What's the perfect gift this holiday season? What everyone wants but rarely gets. A great night's sleep on a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. We make the world's softest and most comfortable sheets. By cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you at BollAndBranch.com, our sheets cost less than half of designer brands and are twice the quality. There's a reason our sheets have tons of five-star reviews. Hundreds of thousands of Americans, including three U.S. presidents, are sleeping better than ever on Boll & Branch. We know you will too. That's why we let you sleep on them risk-free for a month. They arrive beautifully packaged in our signature gift box. Giving a thoughtful gift has never been easier. And right now, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping when you use promo code SLEEP. That's $50 off plus free shipping at BollAndBranch.com. Promo code SLEEP. BollAndBranch.com spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Last day for the Family and Friends Savings event at Sears Hometown Store in North Kingstown is today. Get an extra 10% off almost everything. We're talking appliances, refrigerators, washers and dryers, and stoves. Take it home today. No credit required. And don't forget about Craftsman Tools. They make for great Christmas gifts. Locally owned and operated by Tom Yacobucci, Sears Hometown Store in North Kingstown still has you covered. 6655 Post Road, North Kingstown. Sears Hometown Store.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program, everybody. This is Get Back to Basics Tuesday with Donna Sowa Allard and myself. I'm Don Sowa. Thanks for tuning in and joining us. Okay, we've been getting some interesting questions from people. They're looking at, yes, politics does matter. Traders are focusing on, as Donna mentioned in the first segment, on the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is meeting this week, and it's going to be the last meeting of 2017. Our expectation is, and we had that sort of confirmed by a financial services professional who is with a major bond manager today. And she was telling us that, yes, their expectation would be. And by the way, this is nothing new. It's been built into the market all year. Mm-hmm. They had like about a 93-95% chance that they would raise a quarter of a point before year end. And, of course, December is the last meeting for the Federal Reserve. Now, the other thing that's part of this process, and everybody's always trying to interpret what the Fed is going to be doing, is that in February, Janet Yellen, who's the current chair of the Federal Reserve and who's been sort of been the architect of the current Fed policy, which has been fairly fruitful for the markets and for the economy overall. It's been growing the economy in a fairly stable fashion. It's provided a fair amount of stimulus over the last several years using quantitative easing. The Fed has been buying a lot of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities in the open market. And by doing that, the value of those securities went higher. Of course, those securities are then added to the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, which becomes fundamentally at some point a problem, but not in the beginning. But by doing that, the reciprocal relationship between yields and value of bonds kicks in. And so we're watching the dividend yields drop, the interest rates drop on those securities which have the greatest impact on other lending that goes on inside the economy. So the 10-year U.S. Treasury was down around 2.15 to 2.2 at a low. Now it's right around 2.4. It's going up a little bit. But still very, very low. And you were talking, Donna, about the Fed fund rate. And the Fed fund rate is, of course, that base rate that the Federal Reserve charges its member banks all over the country. And it kind of trickles its way into the economy. So when the Fed is raising its Fed fund rate and what they call the discount rate, when they do that, that, of course, you inadvertently will start seeing other rates across the board go higher And eventually, and unfortunately, it's really eventually, CD rates and money market rates trickle higher over real time.
It doesn't happen immediately. That's the thing. When people start hear that rates are going up, they expect to immediately see, you know, rates on CDs and money markets correspondingly increase. But it's not a, you know, dollar for dollar or percent increase right away. It takes some time to work its way in.
So I think the spread that the banking institutions that participate, the spread that they enjoy on rising rates, it lasts a little while, and my way of describing it was to say, yeah, the bank's playing the float here a little bit. While they get a slightly higher rate and they're not yet passing on those higher rates to their depositors with their savings accounts, money markets, or CDs, and during that little bit of a period of time, their profit margins will increase a little bit. I don't know for how long they can really get away with doing that, but sometimes it's a matter of months before you actually start to see people telling me that, oh, yeah, I was talking to my bank. I noticed that their CD rate on a 12-month or a 18-month CD is going up by 0.15% or 0.2%, a little bit. They don't get the whole quarter of a point that happened. Yeah. So somebody was asking me today, they said, so with interest rates going up, and, you know, the person was listening to our show, and they said that I understood that, you know, you and Donna were talking about that in a previous show, and that it would probably at some point we'd start seeing CD rates and other rates go higher as the Federal Reserve raises rates going forward.
And he's waiting for it.
He's waiting for it. I said, you know, if you go out 5 years, you may see a moderate range duration CD paying 2% or, you know, something in that range. I says, right now, 1 to 1.5. is in some cases. Now, if you're looking for a higher dividend yield than that, chances are you get away from what we call the bricks and mortar banks and maybe go online to the electronic banks. They're all FDIC insured.
I tell people to check their own bank and then to immediately compare online. You can go to bankrate.com and just type in the amount of money that you're putting in. So if you're putting in $10,000 or $5,000, whatever it is, put the amount and how long you're looking to lock it up for. So if you want a really short-term CD, or if you want a one-year, a five-year, whatever it is, it will compare, and it will give them right across to you, and you can literally click on the lender right then and there and have access to their product.
You know, one of the things that's still providing some uncertainty right now, there, everybody's talking about the tax bill and the tax bill, and what will that mean
for financial
companies, what
yes.
will it mean for banks and everything else. And I think there's going to be some sort of a revamping of the tax code. I don't doubt that. But the problem is that... Each institution, you get the House of Representatives, and you have the Senate, and they're each working on a separate version of the bill. And of course, even after they've both passed their own versions, now the House and Senate lawmakers have to agree on one joint bill because the president is not going to sign.
That's the conference committee, right? Yeah. That merges the House and the Senate bill. The House and the Senate versions of tax reform to come up with the new legislation combining, parts of both.
Yeah, so the president's not going to sign the Senate's bill and then sign the House's bill. The president's going to sign one bill, and it becomes the law at that point. And you're right, they have to, now you got to go through the conference where there's a reconciliation on both sides. But the prospect of lower corporate taxes has been obviously very good for the U.S. stock market. You were talking about the S&P reaching all-time highs just during the break.
20.7% total return as of last week's close, so Friday's close.
Traders have also focused on the Fed itself, as it's the U.S.'s central bank. Mm-hmm. It began its meeting today, which is Tuesday. The Fed is largely expected to announce that quarter point increase you were talking about. That's where the expectations are. Sometime on Wednesday, right around 2 p.m., Janet Yellen will come out and announce the official formal change that will take place. Now, what they'll also be looking for is what we call market or monetary expectations. Unfortunately, they don't give a lot of that. They give the statements are fairly broad-based. They're fairly benign and generic. They don't give us a lot of guidance going forward. And then we'll wait several months, and then we will get the minutes of this actual meeting, and we'll find out what all the various voting members of the Open Market Committee had to actually say. So you get a sense, is there a majority of people on there that are sort of, are they dovish about interest rates? Are they hawkish about interest rates? And, of course, this is all important now as we come to the end of this year, because in February, Janet Yellen, the current chair, will leave. She'll retire.
Trading out with Mr. Powell, right?
Yeah, and we get Powell coming in. And a lot of people think that, you know, Fed Governor Jerome Powell is sort of somebody once said that he's sort of like a male version of Janet Yellen. In other words, in terms of his policies and his views on, that can change though once they take the seat.
Similar in terms of the way they steer monetary policy. I do recall, and I should find an article about it, but I do recall that he's more hawkish on the idea of deregulation in a way that she was not. So I know that's a concern for some people.
Yeah, well, Eric Stein is the director of the Global Income Investing over at Eaton Vance, another major investment firm. And he was talking about Powell today. Interestingly, he said that he believes, based on everything he's read and conversations he's actually had with Fed members, with governors, that Powell is the closest thing to Janet Yellen that we could actually get without actually having Janet Yellen, which, of course, he says begs the question.
We could have Janet Yellen have if Trump just decided to keep her.
So basically, Donald Trump chose somebody who would
had to choose his own.
Basically continue the policies that Yellen has supported. Isn't this one thing of the carryover from the Obama administration that Donald Trump really seriously approved of? I don't know how much he personally likes Janet Yellen on a personal basis, but professionally and politically. And I'd be willing to bet under normal, if there was no other favorable set of choices, he would have said, he would have actually gone to her and says, okay, what do you think? Do you think we could get along for a few more years? He says, because I really like what you're doing. Is the fact that you and I may not.
Well, I mean, let's remember, the Fed is supposed to be apolitical. It is not, although there's an appointee for the Fed chair, I mean, it is supposed to be an apolitical body that operates parallel to our government.
Well, you know, I have read a lot of Janet Yellen's writings. I've listened to her speaking endlessly the times that she's done speeches to other professional economics groups, the various economic committees, as well as to the committees in Congress and the Senate. And I've never, ever heard her express any kind of opinion, a political opinion, about another senator.
She's very good about that.
A representative or certainly the president. She's never has been heard a discouraging word. It's almost like Santa Claus, I guess. But I think in that respect, you know, there was some things that you know, people had suggested. They didn't think that the president would probably reappoint her, very simply because he has this general negative bias against anyone that was part of the Obama administration, which I think is short-sighted in a lot of ways.
She's very, you know, methodical and measured and careful, and the expectation is that Jerome Powell will continue for the most part in that way. So that is my hope. I'm sure that is your hope.
Now, Peter Cardillo, who's an economist and with First Standard Financial, he's comments regularly on CNBC, and he said that he doesn't really expect any major surprises from the Fed this week. He doesn't expect any major surprises as we move into the first quarter of next year. He did note, however, that the central bank, if by chance under leadership of a new chair, if the new chair is now this is something that could happen, even though he has similar economic philosophy as Janet Yellen does, if this new chair is more inclined to encourage alternative opinion among the open market committee. I mean, Fed chairs have been fairly powerful. If you look back at Greenspan, if you look at Bernanke, and you look at Janet Yellen, very seldom does the open market committee divert dramatically away from the actual opinion of the chair. If Powell decides that he's going to be more open to that, and out of that comes maybe a more hawkish stance, increasing interest rates higher, more, and at a faster rate, that could scare the hell out of the stock market.
Yeah, the stock market is expecting measured, slow, telegraphed increases. That is exactly what it's expecting. So if something different happens, then you'll definitely see a reaction in stocks. You'll absolutely see a reaction in stocks.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. It's halftime here on the Money Talk program. We will be with you shortly. We're taking calls here at 437-5000. Meyer's with us, and she'll be taking your call at that number. That's local. Toll-free, 888-345-0790. That is 345-0970. And we'll be right back.
The holiday season is a great time of year with gathering of family and friends, exchanging gifts, and, of course, a trip to LeFevre Bakery. LeFevre Bakery has everything you need in way of holiday cookie trees, decadent pies, including chocolate cream pie, apple, custard, and more. You will also find the best in fresh rolls and Italian breads and, of course, party pizzas. Call in your order by December 19th, 463-3133. That's 463-3133, located in Governor Francis Plaza, Warwick Ave, Warwick. Merry Christmas from LeFevre.
a favorite bakery.
Center Ace Hardware in Barrington, only minutes away from East Providence, is your family-owned hardware and more store. Thousands of helpful and unique items, such as Colonial candles, Yeti coolers, mugs, and Virginia peanuts, are in stock at Center Ace Hardware. Shop online and check out our selection of over 85,000 items. This holiday season, seriously consider putting Jesus back into Christmas and your family. Center Ace Hardware in Barrington. Plenty of parking and nearby shopping, dining, and bike trails.
With the Bloomberg Small Business Report, I'm John Tucker. Jesus Vasquez's family business outside San Juan, Puerto Rico, consists of an ice factory and adjacent laundromat. They haven't had power since Hurricane Irma hit the island on September 6th. CUD, a small business advocacy group in San Juan, estimates that two-thirds of the island's roughly 45,000 small and mid-sized businesses have closed temporarily. Their conservative estimate was 5,000 businesses would never reopen, but the group says that number could easily reach 10,000. Small and mid-sized businesses represent about 90% of private companies on the island and about one-third of the workforce. That's according to data released by the Commonwealth Government's Puerto Rico Trade and Export Company. The fallout from this year's hurricanes is already apparent. The Department of Labor figures show employers cut payrolls the most in 21 years in October, and unemployment there surged to an 11-year high. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All money managers may seem pretty much the same. But while some money managers may recommend high commission investment products, Fisher Investments avoids them. Some money managers may have hidden and layered fees. Fisher Investments never does. And while some money managers are happy to earn commissions from you, whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're structured to be on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come to us from other money managers. Talk with us and find out why so many experienced investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at fisherinvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we are back. We did get a caller earlier in the day. He called and asked if by chance, well, he wasn't asked specifically about today, but this is a perfect day to do it, was asking about, as we're getting now towards the end of the year, are there any specific tax opportunities, tax benefits that we should be looking to within our portfolios? And Donna, you were talking about the fact that But you would sort of, as a warning, you said you're letting your anybody, you're checking anyone who has not yet done their required minimum distribution. If they're over the age of 70 and a half, they better be thinking about doing it real quick.
Well, yes. So if we're to start with the required minimum distribution, if you are over 70 and a half, you have to take a minimum amount of money out of your tax-deferred accounts, so out of your IRAs, 401ks, 403bs. There's a minimum amount that has to be distributed annually. If you don't take that out by December 31st, you don't have to just correct it and pay taxes. You also pay a penalty of 50%. It's huge. It's stupid. Don't miss your required minimum
distribution. Well, by the way, it's not a tax issue that you have till April the 15th on. December 31st.
Take your distribution by December 31st. So if you're someone who's already taking regular distributions every month from your account, chances are you're meeting it throughout the year. But there are many number of people who are not taking withdrawals from their IRAs for one reason or another. Maybe you have enough pension income. It's Social Security income. You just don't spend a lot of money. There's a whole lot of reasons you may not need to touch it. So if you don't, make sure you take that distribution.
Now, you get a lot of clients, Donna, who actually are aggravated every year at having to take money out of their IRAs.
Yes, and it comes from the idea of people not wanting to pay taxes. And that's what this distribution is about. The government is saying, congratulations on having all of this tax-deferred growth and savings for all these years. Now, please take some money out and pay us some tax revenue. So they don't care what you do with the money. They don't care if you spend the money. money. They don't care if you put it into an after-tax investment account. They don't care if you give it to your grandkids for their 529 account. You just need to pay the taxes on it. So if it's the end of the year and you also happen to be charitably inclined and you've not taken your required minimum distribution, what you can do is a qualified charitable distribution, which means that you will gift directly from your IRA payable to a charity that's a publicly registered 501c3. And by doing so, you're satisfying the amount that has to come out of your IRA for the year. Two, you don't have to pay the taxes on it, which is fantastic if that's what you're trying to avoid. And three, if you're charitably inclined, then you're satisfying, that desire in your life. So if you need to get money out of your IRA to pay your required minimum distribution and you don't need it for income or expenses, maybe consider donating to charity, and then you have the deduction for it. If you're going to do it, make sure you talk to your custodian or your financial advisor and make sure that the check is made directly to the charity, because if it's made to you, the IRA owner, it's all messed up. It is now a distribution to you that you pay taxes on. It doesn't work out the same way.
You know, I find it a little bit, it's disconcerting when you find that there are quite a few people, especially those who are seniors, who would be required. They may be much older than 70 and a half, and they're obviously required to take RMDs.
Mm-hmm.
Their trustees, every IRA, every one of these plans has a trustee of some sort. The people don't always understand that these tax-qualified plans are, in fact, trust instruments. That's why they're tax-sheltered. Mm-hmm. But the trustee is supposed to notify you. I'm sure that they're sending you a letter of some sort or some sort of a communication alerting you to the fact that we're getting towards the end of the year. They've run their calculation, and they're able to do that because the dollar amount they're using to calculate your distribution is the value of the account at the very first trading day of the year. So let's say the first trading day of the year was January the 3rd for 2017. Well, then they'd go back and look at the value at that time. And let's say it was $100,000, and they would look at the mortality table that they have that determines what the divisor should be. Now, if you happen to be turning 70 and a half, and if it's the first year that you have to do your RMD, the divisor will be 27.4. Which means the amount you're having to take out would be about 3.64% as a percentage from the account. They want you to know that. It's their responsibility to let you know that this has to happen. But as Donna mentioned, the penalty for not doing it is rather substantial.
Yeah.
Actually, I think maybe the worst penalty that we see in the world of tax planning.
Yeah, it's that. It's ordinary income taxes plus 50%. I mean, it's
50%.
Absurd.
50%. That's ugly.
It's really absurd.
That's an ugly number.
It's really absurd. I do want to mention, just in case you were listening to my description of the qualified charitable distribution, you do have to be at least 70 and a half to do this. Mm-hmm. It's not something I know you can take money out of your IRA starting at 59 and a half. In order to do the qualified charitable distribution, you have to be at least 70 and a half. And there is also a limit. The limit is $100,000 per year per taxpayer. So it's not per IRA or per account.
Well, that's a lot
it's
of money, $100,000.
It is, but there are people who have a good amount of money who may be looking to wind down their estate for one reason or another. Maybe you don't have kids and are, very charitably inclined, and this is a way you want to facilitate that.
Since a lot of people do, in fact, pay their taxes as a joint tax return, and if you had two individuals who had
worked
and had substantial 401k or 403b savings plans, they could easily have. We've seen cases like that where they have $800,000 or $900,000 in one of those plans. Well, guess what? Then all of a sudden, these numbers like $100,000 are not that ridiculous.
Oh, not at all. No,
the RMDs could be fairly.
Everybody's in a very different situation. I'm just telling you the limits, and that is per taxpayer. So if you have two partners in a joint tax return, you can each do up to $100,000 so long as it comes from your own IRAs.
Now, as another aside, like I said, because we deal with questions all day long, that people will call the station or us privately or on the website, and they'll ask a question. One person did note that we were talking on last night's program about Bitcoins. That was the day in which, yesterday was the day that actually Bitcoin started to trade on the futures exchange, the CBOE. You could buy futures contracts in Bitcoin. And we walked through the process of how do you actually purchase a Bitcoin and all of those sorts of things. We here on Money Talk, we are not recommending people look to Bitcoin as an investment. We're thinking of it in the same category.
Speculative, right?
I'd rather you have a good time and take your money that you want to invest or that you want to spend in this manner and go to Vegas or maybe Atlantic City. You can have a good time. There's wonderful shows. The food is spectacular. You can work out all kinds of great deals for going in there. And if you lose all your money there, you could at least walk away saying, yeah, but I had a good weekend. It was a great time.
And this is coming from a guy who, Dad, have you ever even been to Vegas?
No.
I have to ask you.
I've been to Atlantic City. I've never been to Vegas.
Because you're a financial planner, not a gambler.
No,
I've been an investor, not a gambler.
I've been to Foxwoods and I've been to Mohegan Sun.
But I feel like that's worth pointing out. What we talk about typically on a day-to-day basis is about investing. It's about long-term strategic investing. This does not fit that profile at all. This fits the Vegas profile.
So I will talk to my financial planner, Kathy, my wife, and she will say, here's $100. This is how much you can take with you.
You can buy $100 of Bitcoin.
But anyway, the question that was asked today, though, after yesterday's topic was, if in fact Bitcoin's, many people are, including some big names, Jamie Dimon and Mark Rubin, Mark Cuban, and others, that they've been talking about this really as a bubble and everything else. And they said, well, when bubbles burst, sometimes a lot of people get hurt when a bubble bursts. They've seen it happen in the past. Mm-hmm. They said, what happens if you guys are all right about Bitcoin and it gets up to some ridiculous numbers and the bubble for Bitcoin bursts? Well, the good news is if Bitcoin's bubble pops, the pain likely will be restricted to those who've actually purchased the cryptocurrency.
It's not likely to filter its way into other parts
of the
market. No derivatives based on it. Are there derivatives based on it?
Well, that may come. That may come.
Yeah,
we're actually at some. Somebody was telling me that they've already heard conversations about making it easier, of course, to purchase it. There's limitations on it. There's no regulation of it, which is also a problem for it. Somebody was saying that since there's several different kinds of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin is the best known of them. Ethereum is one of them.
Yeah, there are several cryptocurrencies.
But it's not participating in a broad, wide market. It hasn't been picked up yet. By the way, you'll know that it's starting to become a little bit problematic, and I would worry about it about the end. And we'll tell you about it, by the way, on this show.
And if you don't think this is a bubble, I'd just like to put this in perspective for you. This year, it is up 1,600%. Bitcoin this year is up 1,600%.
And there was another one that was up 7,600%. I'm trying to, I think it was Euphoria. But the, once they issue an IP, not an IPO, excuse me, because they call it a different type of an instrument. Once they issue an exchange-traded fund that purchases bitcoins and purchases cryptocurrencies, they'll probably own 20 or maybe even 30 of them, depending upon the nature of the exchanges. Mm-hmm. Very few of them have a lot of liquidity, so it's problematic. Yeah. But once that happens, then I would say this year pretty close to the end of the cycle for it, because there's only a limited amount of Bitcoin. Mining. They're mining the coin. Well, there's very little that's been mined. Now, compared to past investment manias, though, that came to some serious grief, like I said, like the dot-com bubble that occurred in the 90s, that triggered a recession and a bear market that caused the overall market to drop 34% in 2000, 2001, and 2002. That affected a lot of people, even a lot of people who'd never bought a dot-com technology company.
It did, because that filtered its way through the market. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, the housing boom of past decades would also be part of that. A Bitcoin rout likely would be of a small magnitude, like you said. Certainly, the gains that they've had have been sort of, as Donna just mentioned, breathtaking enough to invite a lot of attention. Here's where I'm really concerned. I heard some commentary today, and there's even some commercials. Somebody was actually played some commercials on, I think it was on CNBC, where they said people telling you to cash out your IRA so that you can buy Bitcoin. You can't actually buy Bitcoin in your IRA right now.
It's
not structured that way. It's not publicly traded that way. Somebody was saying that this gentleman was actually a regulator, and he said that he got an email from somebody, must have been one of these group emails that went out, And he's a regulator, and he says he got
an email suggesting
that they actually go and take home equity lines of credit. In other words, borrow money off of their house as collateral to buy Bitcoin.
Let's be very clear here. There are a few things that we will pretty much always say. One of them is do not take on debt. Do not mortgage your home. Do not take out a loan in order to invest money as a long-term
investor.
Almost
anything.
I mean, I know that people will buy on margin and trade on margin. That is not for this. We'll also never say cash out your IRA, your retirement savings, to buy one thing. Never, ever, ever.
Folks, you're listening to the Money Talk Get Back to Basics program with Donna Allard and myself. I'm Don. So we'll be right back. So stick around.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at SocialSecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart, to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens, to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter, to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate, to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
It's called MediShare, and it's affordable, biblical health care.
And if you're wondering, what does that mean?
Well, ask the people who are already members, like the Badger family. It's a big family, by the way.
We have 7 boys, 3 girls. We live out in the country. We homeschool.
And they thank God for MediShare, especially after one of their babies was born with spina bifida, and the total bill was about $250,000. MediShare members met the entire need and sent them cards and letters letting them know they're praying for them.
MediShare is, I mean, we love it. With myself being self-employed, owning my own business, MediShare was a great option as far as affordability. With MediShare, as far as like all of our stuff, it's always come through.
Yeah, more and more people are doing this, and you can see why. Hundreds of thousands of Christian believers sharing, and that is a beautiful thing. Find out more. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we are back with the Money Talk program. We just finished up the last segment talking about bitcoins and you know something? Bitcoin is an interesting idea, and I know the technology that makes it work is something that may survive the Bitcoin itself, because I've listened to some people who are involved with the NASDAQ trading exchange and with the American Stock Exchange, the Amex, and they said that they've been looking at the crowdfunding underlying chassis that allows for the record keeping that's required in order to make a Bitcoin thing work. And they said that it can be adapted to make traditional trading in registered products more efficient and faster. I'm not sure that we
the
need
technology
it. The technology itself. So that may be the surviving element of it. But as you were stating during the break, you said that, you know, this is a little bit like in past cases, like musical chairs. You go around and around, and sooner or later the music stops.
Someone has to get out in order for you to get in, right? Someone gets out in order for you to get in. And it's the opposite, really, in this. The winner is the one who gets out. The loser is the one who gets in at the end.
You know, buying, right? I've always found it, when I was yesterday, we were talking about the process you have to follow to get into it. And to actually buy Bitcoin and the different ways you could go about doing it. And it's, as with all things, I mean, it's a little more complicated than certainly opening up a trading account or an IRA or anything like that. But it's buying anything is the easy part. You know, there's always somebody who will sell you something. So buying anything, if you've got cash, if you've got money, that's the easy part. But watching it go up is the exciting part, of course. Watching the value of your account go up thousands of dollars a day.
And knowing when to get out is the hardest part.
It's not even that. The real question that I was asking was not knowing, because you don't know. The real issue was, can you get out?
Liquidity. And that's something, it's a risk that we look at in all of our investments, right? When we're looking at a mutual fund, we look at the size of it, we look at the type of fund it is and say, what is the liquidity risk here? If the fund needs to raise cash for redemptions, right? Their liquidity is always going to be an issue. And it certainly is here. Certainly you would expect it to be in Bitcoin or anything else where it's a smaller market. And if you want to get out, is there going to be a buyer that allows you to get out?
Well, the other side of this reminded me a little bit of the market for gold coins. When people are, you see all the commercials, you hear them on radio for physical gold. Now, why do they say
touch
that?
It.
Because they're saying physical gold as opposed to simply doing what Donna Grace...
If you can't touch it, you don't own it, right?
Well, in my case, like I said, look, we've purchased gold for the purpose that it's there. It's either as an inflation hedge or a hedge against nervousness in the market. Mm-hmm. And buying an exchange-traded fund like GLD or IAU is a more liquid way. But the other thing, too, is you can get in and out very quickly. You call, I know one phone call, one transaction, electronic mm-hmm. transaction. You're in and out, and you can find out right now that you've moved to cash very, very quickly. With ET, because it is publicly traded, you could even put stop losses on it if you wanted to choose that route with gold in the ETF. When they talk about buying the gold coin, I've always said, here's another example. Very easy to buy. Mm-hmm. There's coin and stamp brokers all over the place who will sell to you. And by the way,
you can go online and buy it.
Yeah, and by the way, another factor that you have to look to is the cost. All of the different exchanges right now that have currently opened up, their pricing structures are all completely different.
People get worried about their trading fees and their investment accounts. Wait until you have to go and you want to turn in your investment. You want to sell your gold to get the physical gold, to get your money back. That's a whole other thing.
Well, a person was talking about he was making inquiries of the different exchanges to buy Bitcoin today, and he said that within a 5-minute period, he had his brother was on one line calling one of the exchanges about mm-hmm. buying, and he was on another line calling a different exchange. He says the difference
completely different
within
service fees.
He said it was like $1,600 difference.
Wow.
He says, that's a big difference.
Sure it is.
In real terms. And because the price is so big, the amount of money, how do you get in there? You buy 10 shares at $20,000 and you're looking at what? You're looking at $200,000.
Well, anyone who's getting in now, which I don't suggest, but hey, if you're speculative, go for it. Anyone getting in now is getting in at a high price, is spending a lot of money. There were people who could get in for $1,000 not long ago.
Well,
it really wasn't that long
ago. Mania, which is part of it, that's the concern right now, is built around the fact that in the very beginning, maybe some of the ones like the Winklevoss brothers who took a part of their buyout from Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and they bought early on.
They're considered to be one of the Bitcoin billionaires, right?
They're the Bitcoin billionaires. Well, they went and they were buying it at $1 to $10 a coin. And so then all they had to do was go in with
a
couple of $100,000 that were part of their payout, and they put it in. So if you're walking around with 100,000 bitcoins, and now all of a sudden one bitcoin is trading at 17,000-18,000, you've got a lot of money. But the issue will be there is how do you make a profit in it? You've got to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So the selling process is also. I think it's more difficult, but it's the same as to sell your gold coins. If you're nervous about the price of gold for whatever reason, so you've decided you want to go back to your broker, either you're doing it online, you're doing it by telephone, or you're going into their shop if it was a physical storefront, mm-hmm. and you're walking in and you said, okay, I'd like to sell my beautiful maple leaf gold coin, which is an ounce of gold.
Collector's
it's going to be trading,
edition, whatever.
It's going to be trading at $1,300 or so a piece. And, What price do you think the trader is going to give you? They may have marked up the sell to you at 5%,
mm-hmm.
but what you did was you took the risk off they took their coin out of inventory. They're no longer holding it. You've turned it into cash for them. So whatever growth of value, let's say they were in at a cost basis of $1,000 and they're selling it at $1,320, and maybe they marked it up a little bit for handling. But the bottom line is you just took all the risk off their hands. Now, if you go back to them, Because you said, oh, can I sell it back to you when I want to sell it? Say, oh, yeah, absolutely, come back in. I promise you the markup they're going to charge you is not 5%. And the reason for it is because they know that you are now asking them to assume the risk of becoming the owner again, of holding it in inventory. And then, by the way, they can also ask, well, why are you selling? Believe me, I promise you, the person that sells gold for a living knows all of the news, knows all of the issues, knows any reason to buy or sell gold in the global market. There's nothing you can that you know that's going to happen on that given day or that given week about gold that they don't already know. So if there's a risk out there, they know why you're trying to sell your gold. And so let's say you went in and you bought it at $1,200 and now all of a sudden you want it's $1,500 an ounce out there in the real world. Do you think there's any chance that you can get $1,500 an ounce? Well, two problems with that. Even if you found an electronic dealer, an online dealer or whatever, who was willing to give you a more favorable price, how long do you think it's going to take to actually transact the sale? You've now got to ship the gold, UPS or however you do it, overnight, whatever, and you will get the price that the dealer has when the moment they take possession.
Yeah, I mean, what you just the long bit you just described is why we don't suggest that people own gold physically. If you want to own it, you know, through an exchange traded fund or some other means.
No, I have a wonderful family member who owns, I think, a half dozen gold coins, and his wife teases him because every once in a while he takes out a glass of sherry and he sits there and he takes the little velvet bags that have pockets in them and takes the gold out. And I was waiting for him to bite into it or something, but he kind of he sits there feeling the gold coin, looking at it because it's so beautiful, and she says, I think he considers it sexy, and it's and but that's okay. If you feel if you have an emotional reaction,
it's one thing to collect
to owning
coins,
gold,
but he also has investments. He also has
oh, he has
a
plenty
business.
Of other investments.
He
yeah.
also has so this can't and the reason that's important to point out is because we hear those commercials about you know selling everything you have in your IRA and buying one asset. In this case, gold. You don't do that. You don't do that. You have to be diverse. It can only be one little part of your entire investment plan.
Now, if you think that nobody is nervous with all the stock market going up as much as it has, if you think that nobody's nervous this year, has anybody noticed that gold year to date is up 8.5%?
It is up
8.5%.
It was up even more at one point. It was over 10% at one
point. It's up higher than bonds. It's up higher than a number of other assets, and it goes up. There's no inflation.
Well, there's a lot to be nervous about in the world.
So it's not reacting to inflation, which is one of the things that it would react to normally if there was. So it's the fact that we have a lot of stuff going on in the world around us that we can't predict.
There's uncertainty. There's uncertainty in the geopolitical arena. There's stuff that we just can't control, and that's why people buy it.
And, for example, even things that the market will be driven by is perhaps the hope. Of a proper tax bill, one that's
right
beneficial.
Right now, it's the hope of tax plan passing.
Yeah. With all of that happening, that's fine. But there are plenty of people who are saying, but what if it doesn't happen? What if? Well, that's fine. Own something in your portfolio that doesn't require the tax bill to occur this year.
Everything shouldn't be up at the same time, so everything's not down at the same time, right?
And by the way, so this is not rocket science. This is not something that I just taught to Donna Grace over the last several years. This is something that my grandmother would have taught you. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And make sure, by the way, that the baskets you're putting them into are designed to react differently to conditions that they exist in. Hey, folks, this is Don Sowa with Donna Sowa Allard. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. This has been the Money Talk program. Tune in tomorrow. Steve Bovee will be here at 5 o'clock with more Money Talk right here on AM 790. Have a good evening.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great. So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No.